We extend Christian greetings to each one that is gathered here. I can say I was richly blessed already this morning, especially this last song that was sung just seemed to be an affirmation to me on what I felt led to share about today. If you want a title for the message today, it's Jesus. I was blessed with the devotional this morning. It was shared about the body of Christ and how many does it take to have a church. Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." For a basis for the message today, I would like to read in St. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 17. Would like to read that. And a thought I would like for us to think about, it talks here about Jesus being the Word. Talks him about him, without him was nothing made that was made. And if we look in Genesis chapter 1, God spoke the worlds into existence. And a lot of the animals and the things, man was formed. But God spoke. And here it says, Jesus is the Word of God. I don't totally profess to understand all of that, but I hope and trust that today as we share, that you can receive a special blessing from God. Not because of me up here, but if we open our hearts and minds to His Holy Spirit, He will minister to the needs of your heart. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 17. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is talking about the new birth. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Have you ever wondered? You know, we all have a start somewhere, and in our minds, in my mind, everything has to have a beginning. Have you ever wondered where God started? Where he came from? How did he come into being? If we travel back in time all the way to the creation, when the worlds were created, we read there about the Spirit of God. We read there about God. And we also read here that Jesus was there. But before he created the worlds into being, what was there? How did God start? When we think of that, we can only imagine, because we really don't know. But when we think of eternity, eternity is something that we look way into the future and we cannot see an end. That is eternity future. But you know, eternity past also goes. All the way out of sight, there is no beginning. God always was. And he is. And he always will be. How it was back then, I'm inclined to think that God had created the angels. And I think that all the angels were good angels, doing God's will, doing whatever he commanded them. I think it was good. Everything was good. And then the time came, because God is love, that he decided to have the creation. Jesus was there and he created everything. And the creation was something very special, because in the creation, after everything was made and prepared, animals, the fish, the birds, and then God formed man. And after he had formed man, he breathed into his nostrils. And it says, man became a living soul. And I believe that the time that God spent there in doing that, he had a love for man, for woman whom he created, that goes far beyond anything we can comprehend. And I believe that there was a blessed time there. And then after that, something happened. Satan was lifted up with pride. And there were a certain amount of angels that took sides with him. Jesus said that he beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. John speaks in Revelations. He said that there was war in heaven, and that Satan and his angels were cast out into the earth. So I'm inclined to think that the fall of the angels happened sometime after creation, but before the fall of man. And you're familiar with the account how that man fell. Eve was tempted. She took of the forbidden fruit she was told not to, and gave to her husband also. And so man fell, and all the offspring of Adam was born with that fallen nature to sin. Sin is something that comes natural to man ever since, and it's something that we're all a part of that. But in spite of all that, I know the wickedness, the Bible refers to it as a darkness. The time came when God destroyed the earth with a flood. It repented him that he had made man. But there was one family who found favor in his sight, and he was saved alive because of his obedience and his faith, Noah. But then after Noah came back, darkness again came on and intensified. In all this, God loved man. Even when man fell, the first time that God came and communicated with Adam and Eve that we read about, he mentioned about a Savior coming to save us. The way it is mentioned there was kind of elusive. It's not straight out and very plain, but it is referred to there in Genesis. And I believe the reason for that is because the secret needed to be kept from Satan as far as how mankind was going to be redeemed. The law was brought on, man fell time and again. And after all this, there were 400 silent years. And John the Baptist came on the scene. And when Jesus came on the scene, God sent a message through the angels. And in spite of all the darkness and wickedness that was going on in the world, his message to man was peace and goodwill toward men. That was a message from God to us. Peace and goodwill. And it was at that time that Jesus made that big sacrifice. He left the glories of heaven. He left the state of being all-knowing, and he wrapped himself with human flesh as a helpless little baby, and he was born of a virgin young lady named Mary. If no one else knew about Jesus being born of a virgin, I'm sure Mary knew. Jesus being all-powerful, all-knowing, he left that and wrapped himself with human flesh, and he became a man as we are. Did not have an earthly father. Mary had tremendous responsibility given to her. In the message that the angel had for her, and when Jesus was born, she had the privilege of nursing him. She had the privilege of teaching him to walk. The privilege of teaching him to talk. He was her maker as well as her child. Jesus left his state of being all-knowing. He wrapped himself with human flesh and came and lived among men. The Bible does not talk much about his childhood. It speaks of an angel coming to Joseph in a dream and telling him to take the young child and his mother to Egypt. Again, an angel came to Joseph in a dream and told him to take the young child and his mother and go back to Israel. Those who had sought their life were dead. And in that, Joseph took his family and they lived in Nazareth. There are many questions that I would have about how things were with Jesus when he was a little boy, when he was a teenager. You know, some of the favorite childhood memories that I have are when my mother told stories to me. I have a brother that is a year and 2 months older than myself. And I remember when our mom made us take afternoon naps. And oh, I hated to take afternoon naps at that time. I wanted to be out and about and do things that were fun and go out and play. But my mom, she had a way of sometimes compromising a little bit, and she would say, if we don't make trouble and we go for our nap, she'll tell us a Bible story. And she'd sometimes even ask us, what do we want to hear? Which story do we want her to tell us? And that always made the nap worthwhile if we got a story out of it. And I think every good mother will take time off from her busy schedule, to relate stories to her children. How did Jesus find out that he was the Son of God? I am inclined to think, and I'm using my imagination here just a little bit, but I am inclined to think that Mary told Jesus as a little boy those stories of how she met with, how the angel came and spoke to her. When Jesus was a little boy, I think Mary also told him the story of how the shepherds came soon after he was born, and what they said that the angel told them. I believe she also told him the story of how the wise men came, and they brought him presents and gifts. I don't know if Mary ever asked Jesus what stories that he wanted her to tell, but I just imagine him telling her, tell me that story again about the angel. We do know that by the time Jesus was 12 years old, he went with his parents to the Passover for the first time, that he knew who he was. He had somehow taken himself off, went to the temple, and was conversing with the doctors of the law, people who had gone to school and had been very learned in the scriptures. And he showed up missing when Mary and Joseph were on their homeward journey for some time, and they had to come back to Jerusalem in search of him. And they finally found him in the temple conversing. And it says that the doctors of the law were astonished at his questions and his understanding. And I'm inclined to think that as they talked about certain events that had happened, Jesus could answer it, and he spoke of it as if he was there when it happened. Because in reality, he was. His father was a carpenter. Jesus was near 30 years of age, I think, when his ministry started. I wonder if there is any furniture around that Jesus might have made. But you know, that is not why Jesus came. I don't think we read of him making anything, but I think he worked for his dad, was obedient to his mom and dad. He had a stepdad, if you will, because Joseph, filling that role, when the angels came to Joseph in a dream, he said, take the young child and his mother. Joseph is never referred to as Jesus' dad. His dad was God. He was the Son of God. The angel told Mary when Gabriel was the angel that came, and he told her that her child would be the Son of God. And in different places, things happened, and Mary stored these things in her heart. But I think that she had a relationship with her son, who was the Son of God, and I think she shared a lot with him. Jesus, the giver of life, he went about his ministry for about 3.5 years. He gave his life on the cross. He was buried. He was resurrected. He ascended back to glory. He went to prepare us a place. When Stephen was being stoned, he saw him standing at the Father's right hand. Time will not allow for me to go into much detail on these things I've just mentioned. But him leaving all that in heaven to come down and spend 30-some years of his life experiencing pain, hardship, fleeing for his life, experiencing things as we do. And in that way, he can feel for us. It says that Jesus wept when he was here. He experienced feelings of hurt. He experienced feelings of rejection. He can identify with us. And we are so blessed because of that. And his reason for coming was that man, that woman, that we might be saved. We have the privilege of choosing to accept him, his shed blood, for the remission of our sins. Jesus has the ability to forgive us our sins. Through his shed blood, he can make us totally clean, and our burden of sin can be totally gone. Satan is a hard taskmaster. There is a story that I would like to relate in conjunction with this. There was some time ago, twin brothers. And I'm not exactly for sure at what time frame this was, but their dad had a department store. It was a storekeeper. And the time came that their dad passed on, and these twin brothers took over the department store. And in the course of time, they had good relationships with each other, and things were going well. But there came a time when one of them was at the cash register talking with a customer. And he stepped outside with the customer, leaving a dollar bill laying on the register on top. And he stepped outside with the customer for a few minutes. And when he came back in, that dollar bill was gone. And so he asked his twin brother, "Where is that dollar bill? Did you see anything of it?" And he said, "No, I didn't see it." Well, this young man couldn't figure out who in the world could have done anything with that dollar bill except his brother. After all, a dollar bill doesn't just get up and walk off. And a dollar bill is not much, but that dollar bill was missing. Time went on, and it got to the point where these brothers did not trust each other anymore because of that missing dollar bill. And the feelings between these two brothers got so bad that they decided that they could not get along together anymore. So they went and built a wall right down through the middle of that store. And one of them owned one half and the other was in the other half. And the bitterness that they had with each other reached out into their families. And it even reached out into the community. Affected quite a few people. And this thing went on for 20 years. All because of that missing dollar. And then one day, a late model car pulled in with a plate from a different state. A middle-aged man came out and went into the store. Saw the man behind the counter. And he said, "I am here because I have a confession to make." He said, 20 years ago, I came into town on a train, riding in a boxcar. Back in that day, it was nothing unusual for a tramp to come along and knock at your door if you lived in the country, people looking for work. Well, this man came in on a boxcar, riding in a boxcar. He had nothing to eat for 3 days. And he said he slipped into the back door and came into the store. Came up to the front and he saw this dollar bill on the cash register. And he took it. And he slipped back out. He doesn't think anybody saw him. He asked the cashier how long he was here. And he said he was here all his life. And he said, "Would you please repeat that story to the man in the other part?" And so he did. When that dollar bill was found, restitution was made between these two brothers. But look at those 20 wasted years. All the bitterness, the feelings, the hurt, all because of a dollar bill. Satan is a hard taskmaster. Think of the 20 years. This man told them that in all that 20 years, it never could get that out of his mind. Dollar bill's a very light thing. But carrying a load like that finally gets very heavy to carry. And that's why Jesus came. And I can identify with this story because I also carried a load for years. I remember so well when I was in second grade in school. We had just come in from recess and sat down. And about two or three desks ahead of me was another boy in my grade. And he had a little ball of mud. Must have picked it out during recess, and he patted this thing, and he had a ball of mud. It was kind of like clay, I think. Anyhow, we had just sat into our desks, and he turned around in his seat. Some of the others weren't in their seats yet. There was a girl in my grade sitting right behind me. But he took this little ball of mud, and he just looked at me and asked me just with motions, not with verbal, But he, with motion, just wondered if she should throw that to me. And without thinking, I just shook my head yes, you know, and put my hands up. And just like that, this ball of mud came, and it was about a foot and a half too high or something. In my mind, it just right over me, and I missed it. And, of course, I turned around and looked back, and here it landed on this girl's desk right behind me. And immediately her hand went up. Ruth Ann Byler was my school teacher at the time. She would have been an older sister to Minna Barber. She came over, wondered, and this girl pointed to the ball of mud. Well, where did it come from? And so it was looked at the boy that was sitting ahead of me there, several desks. And he said, well, Elmer told me to throw it. And so she looked at me. Did you tell him to throw it? I said, no. So it was I said and he said, who do you believe? And I made myself believe that I did not verbally tell him. I might have shook my head, but I verbally didn't tell him. But I never forgot that. Jonah Miller was on the school board at that time, and this thing got so checked out that Jonah Miller was brought to school, and he questioned us two boys individually, and I insisted that I didn't tell him to throw that ball. And I think they finally ended up not even punishing any of us. I don't remember that we got punished. But I carried that load with me for years. And I kind of think it might have been during the time I was in instruction class. It was while I was a young boy that I wrote a letter of apology to that other boy that did that. And oh, the happiness and the freedom and how that load was gone. I'll never forget. Later, I had opportunity to visit with Jonah Miller, and I told him about it. Oh, he had no memory of it. So if there is anyone here carrying a load like that, that's why Jesus came. And you can experience getting free from a load like that. You know, the Bible tells us that there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And devil is a hard taskmaster. If you have anything in your life and the Holy Spirit of God tells you that you should make that right, the freedom that you can feel and the happiness that you can experience is unmatched. And that's why Jesus came. This thing of hiding things like that is a part of the darkness. And there is not anyone here that I'm speaking to that I know about something in your life. But I do know that those things do happen. And I don't know, because there are probably worse things than that I've done that I don't even remember. But for some reason, there are sometimes things in specific that happened that bother you, that bothered me. And when they do, I think God wants us to take care of those things. And He can forgive us. And when He does, it feels so good. That's why He came. We had in our Sunday school lesson today about in the latter times there being dangerous times. And it gives a big list of things to watch out for. Our natural inclination is to look at out away from us and thinking of that wickedness that is mentioned there in our Sunday school lesson. But I would just like to share with you that the front line of the battlefield for each one of us is inside our own heart. That is what's important that we take care of. So it is my sincere desire that we can be encouraged in our Christian life. Don't give up. Let's keep on keeping on. We wish each one the Lord's blessing. With these thoughts, let's kneel for a word of prayer.